You have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 21. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 21. I'll tell you, 1 and 2 Peter, as well as the whole New Testament, is so rich. Where do you start and where do you stop reading all of these wonderful, wonderful truths? But once again, 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Christ suffered for us in a way we'll never understand until he reveals it to us in heaven. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. That doesn't mean we're into a gospel of suffering. That doesn't mean asceticism. Some people expect the worst and the worst happens, but it means that he has experienced the worst so that we can be blessed. And yet we follow in his footsteps. Every day is not the same kind of day. Every day is not a whoopee, you know. Every day is not all the miracles that have happened. There are slow days, fast days, days we understand and days we wonder why. But we don't quit on our first day. We don't quit on our worst day. We don't quit because we're following the example of the one who did not quit until the cross. But he did not quit there because God raised him from the dead. But he did not quit there because he gave certain commandments unto his followers and ascended back to the Father, promising them power from on high. And without all the electronic and the printing and the communication capabilities of this generation, some way, somehow, 3,000 people were gathered into that area that originated in the upper room. And I have an undying, unfailing faith that God can still do that. That was not a one-time happening. That was not a one-time phenomenon. Just as it was with Elijah, 18-second prayer that turned Ahab and Jezebel around. Nothing could stop Ahab and Jezebel except the prayer of Elijah. Took about 18 seconds to pray, and it was all over, baby. It was all over. It wasn't just the 450 prophets of Baal. What was the sum total of that? Around 800 plus. In one day, one man, someone said it seemed like he had the key to heaven in the back pocket of his robe. But one day, one man, one prayer turned a nation around. And it was over with Ahab and Jezebel. I'm going to tell you, God is still on the throne. God is at work. And let God be God. But I wanted to look at that verse one more time. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. And what the whole thing is all about, leaving us an example. The word example appears 8 times in the Bible, all of it in the New Testament, example. There are 3 or 4 words that I would like to key off of today, because example and pattern and manner and custom all speak to us so heavily today and encourage us to follow the patterns of powerful people. Powerful people have patterns. Could I go negative for a moment? Hitler had a pattern. Other dictators and warmongers of years gone by, they had a pattern. You didn't have to wonder what their pattern was. It was destruction. It was tearing down democracy. Even to this day, the name Hitler and the swastika still speaks to us of a dark era that many of you were not even born during that era. Those of us that were alive during that time remember and never cease to thank God. Nothing wrong with Germans and Japanese today, but we could have all been speaking German and Japanese and or Japanese today. This nation could be occupied by Germany and by Japan today. And they weren't very nice folks when they were coming after us in World War II. They were very cruel. But you see, they had a pattern. Bill Gates has a pattern. And has obviously been successful with his pattern. I could name some other names of rich and wealthy people. They have a pattern. They know, and they're not going to change for you. You could call up and say, I don't like your pattern. And they say, well, it works for me. But I mean, successful. You take Michael Jordan. He has a certain way that he does certain things. And I don't know all to look for, but if you study, he has a pattern in certain things that he does. He's good, obviously, very good at what he does. And the Bible tells us in Acts 17 and 2 that Paul, as his manner was, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture. That means that this isn't the only time that Paul did something like this. This was his manner. This was his MO, method of operation. He may be in a synagogue one day, or he may be there 3 days, or he may stay in the city 3 years. I believe Ephesus, that Paul stayed there and taught daily, as I remember, the scriptures. And so Paul had a manner. He had a custom. He had a pattern. Luke 4:16. Speaking of Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, Jesus had habits, predictable habits. You get him near a synagogue, he's going to be there. And honestly, I can't think of anything any more dry, any more boring in that day and time. A lot of legalism and some of you would be very bored in the atmosphere of that day. But see, here's what I love about Jesus. Everything may be boring, but when Jesus enters, he brings truth and he brings life. And there's a lot of situations in life may not be the best situation, but you bring Jesus into that situation and you bring life and you bring character and you bring truth into a situation where truth is lacking. So we're sort of doing a play on several words here. Example. We're to follow the example of Jesus. Pattern appears 13 different verses of the Bible. Just the word pattern. Manner and custom seem to be used interchangeably. And we're to follow the example of godly, consistent patterns and examples in people's lives. You know, the Bible said even a child is known by his ways. You say, well, I don't like people to judge me. Well, change your ways then. A child is known by his ways. More than once I've had a school teacher say, boy, do I have one that's got his own agenda. Or a girl or a guy. Now, the essence of everything I'm talking to us about today, I want to just ask the question, what is the pattern that we are setting? What is the example that we are setting? When people think of my name or your name, what is the example? What is the pattern? See, you can use a good pattern, whether it be a piece of cloth or I'd let some of you engineers talk about the patterns that you have in the aeronautical industry or anything else that you make. If a pattern is accurate, You can use that pattern over and over and over again because you know that it produces certain results. You say, where are you going? Well, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, Jesus, this is in Luke 4:16. Let me read the verse in its entirety. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. As his custom was. We need consistent patterns and examples and manners and customs in believers' lives today. Not situational ethics, but we need to be known as a man or a woman that tells the truth the first time, whether it doesn't seem to make any difference or not. And we are lied so much to in the media to where you become kind of jaded. You hear it, but you don't hear it. And the thing that bothers me about some people today, you can call things to their attention. So-and-so promised this, and here's 21 things they didn't do, so they look at you like a blank wall. So we're used to it. If we say we're going to do something, let's do it. And if we can't do it, explain why we couldn't do it. That's just the right way to go. So there's several things we could say. An example would be someone that you want to be one that you pattern your life after. Do you know of someone that you'd like to pattern after them or emulate them? All of us should be that. It indicates that there's already been a solid track record established in that person. A person who is a good example is someone whose character has been proven over a long period of time. And I'll tell you, my heart's crying. Young people, don't let your heart go crazy. You need to find somebody of godly character. I'm not talking about someone who walks around with a Bible under each arm. He can be goofy too. Someone who is consistent, someone who tells the truth, someone who has a reasonable record of what he wants to do in life or she wants to do in life. You get two people married that don't know what they want to do in life, and I'm telling you, there's a disaster right there. You need to choose someone, not just because they're sexy or pretty or handsome, or because they pay you a lot of attention. You need to choose someone that has living qualities, potential living qualities. Because after I do, you still have to get along with them. I'm talking to you out of my heart today. I see a lot of things that shouldn't have been. And preachers are put in some awkward situations sometimes. Last question somebody has in their mind, well, we're getting married. When's the church available? You got the whole thing in reverse. Let's talk about living qualities. Well, we don't believe in counseling. Well, whatever you want to call it, find somebody who's got some sense in their head and spend some time talking to people that can talk to you about real life. I met a girl the other day. Her parents are deceased today. Her mother, the sixth time she married, came to me and told me what she was going to do. And I said, excuse me. No, 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 no. He's an alcoholic. He has problems. He's a consistent alcoholic. He's not a one beer. This guy is, and he's been multiple married. Well, God told me so. God told me so. That's the most disastrous thing. God told me so. Well, she married him, and it didn't last long. But I asked her the question. I said, look, this. Just in love, I tell you, let's give him time. He may work out all right. He hasn't been saved very long. What if the marriage doesn't work? Well, I'll get me another one. I've been there before. Okay, let's move right on here. You see, the effectiveness of the word goes a lot easier when you're with somebody who is of like precious faith. And you believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and you believe in the dynamics of God and someone doesn't, but they're nice people and they have a right to just have a born-again message. You got an inequity working there. From square one, you've got an inequity working there. I'll tell you, I would discourage anyone handily coming into this house. You see somebody, what turns you on is what this house has helped make them, and you want to drag them off to Deadville. Well, let's move right on. We're talking about following the patterns of powerful people. Babe Ruth was a powerful batter. We know him in the sports world. I think of Tom Landry. It's impossible to think of Tom Landry without thinking of a man of character. Tom Landry, I was never ashamed of Tom Landry. I was never ashamed of his language. I was never ashamed of his conduct. And whether the Cowboys won or lost, you didn't have to be ashamed of the coach. He had character. And character is a very consistent thing. It's an example. A person who has set a good example and whose character has been proven over a long period of time is one that you can follow. Someone who has been through some stuff and is now in a position to give godly advice to others. You know, we could go several ways on this, but I was just thinking of people in the Fort Worth area. I am such a blessed man. I was talking to someone here in the last few hours. Having been born and raised in this area let me tell you something. Some of you might, very few of you would know. I know there's two or three that would know, but there was a pastor in this city by the name of O.B. Braun, a man of sterling character, a man that the bankers trusted implicitly. He helped a lot of younger churches who were having trouble getting a loan or whatever, and he'd co-sign for them until he got way up in years, and the banker said, you know, we don't think that's a good idea. The people would come through, but they just felt that he was putting himself in a negative position. O.B. Braun was a man who told the truth. Pastored over in Rosen Heights, a powerful man of God. And as a young boy, I remember him. We had a man called Carl Stewart, interesting man, playing a fiddle in a band, and God saved him from a wild type of entertainment life. And he was pastor for God knows how many years of the old Boulevard Assembly. Man of character. And I think of Jacob Filbert. The tabernacle's gone over there, but the slab's still there. It was the hottest thing in Fort Worth. I mean, that church was hot. And the most powerful speakers of that day came in and through North Side Tabernacle. And Jacob Filbert was a powerful man. I think of my own father-in-law, J.C. Thompson, a very powerful man in his own right. And these were all people of strong personalities. These weren't Wally Coxes. I've been raised in and around some real John Waynes in the ministry. Men that were not only strong, but they were strong in the right way and strong for the right purposes. I think of Carl Alcorn. What a blessing that man has been to my life. How he took our church after 5 pastors in 4 years and 21 people there. And we only had 3 deacons and all of them had a terrible tobacco habit. Now that won't send you to hell. It just makes you smell like that before you get to heaven. Carl Alcorn said, we're going to build a church. And he did build a church and packed that church out. I think of that. I think of Dr. M.E. Collins, who actually pastored in the ladder of pastors before that. Became president of Southwestern University in Waxahachie. One of his classes was prayer. I believe it was called prayer and worship. And I remember Dr. Collins, he said, you know, it's not that I couldn't, but he said, I've exercised my faith. He said, I haven't bought a suit in so long, I don't remember when. He said, when I need a suit, I go to my closet, lay my hand on the rail where the suit would be, and just Say, Father, and I sow seed toward that, and just believe God. And he said, I haven't bought a suit in a long time. Now, I buy a suit every once in a while, but a lot of what I wear in the pulpit has been given to me. Now, these are people that what God called them to do, they just kept on doing it. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin was known for Mark 11. Some people thought he wrote it. He didn't write it. He just taught and preached from Mark 11. But from that man, Joy and I learned a depth of faith, a simplicity of faith that has been with me. You wonder how in the world we've been able to shift gears for 45 years through every kind of a craziness and challenge that could come? Because, not because we're perfect, but when you learn the elements of faith, it's like skiing. There's no way I'd start skiing today at this time in life. But I know how to get on the mountain, and I know how to just hang there if I want to and do nothing. And I can go fast or I can go slow. Because I've learned, I'm not the greatest skier in the world, but I've learned technique that will keep me on the mountain. And if you ski in control and if you just know what you're doing, I know things that I've learned over the years. I've learned them through lessons. I've learned them through many years of doing that. And you know, the Christian life is like that. Some people never know where they're in, out, up, down, off, and on. But let me tell you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when you know what we teach in this church, you can hang in there. You can hold steady. If you don't want to go down that mountain right now, you can just lock in and just sit there and look at the next mountain peak. You don't have to do anything stupid or foolish. You can wait until you want to do something. Amen. You don't panic. You don't freak. Might make some mistakes, but praise God. Basically, you know what you're doing. And church, that's the desire that I have for all of us, that we know faith in God. And we have the character of God. Something just broke my heart. A marriage was potentially on the rocks. And what had happened? Some super spiritual woman got to a minister's wife and said, you have a ministry all your own. You don't need your husband anymore. That's a voice of hell. And prophesied a bunch of garbage. Prophesied a bunch of garbage. You need to be careful where you get prophecy. You can find any prophecy you want if you, but I mean, this has caused some great deep heartache. And you can't tell the woman nothing. A woman that at one time was kind and gentle and would not hurt. I mean, just precious, precious. But Satan seeks out the precious life. Never let yourself get in a position where godly people can't talk to you and reason with you and help you. You could be on the wrong track. Just like I said, we were, as many years as I've been through Colorado Springs, I went past my turnoff and found myself in a part of Colorado Springs. I was lost as a goose. And finally, I just honked at this truck. And I said, I'm lost, sir. Can you tell me how to get to the airport? And I had to get there at a certain time. And he said, follow me. And I looked up. It was an Asian cowboy in a Bubba pickup with a big black Western hat on. Well, there's no problem there. But we follow and we follow. And what he did was take us through every back trail, every side trail. He knew where he was going, but I didn't. And three times I said, Joy, he doesn't have a clue where he's going. And finally, this Asian cowboy in a big Dodge Bubba 4x4 pickup pulled up and we could see it then. There's the airport free. How we got there, I don't know. But we had to, Joy said, well, we've trusted him this far. And on that occasion, it worked. And he roared off and we went on to the airport and made the flight. I'm talking about this. If there was ever an hour that we need godly examples, men, women, teenagers, boys, girls, if there was ever an hour that we need godly examples, And we need to pay attention in church and keep our eyes on the minister and hear what's being said, because it's so very important. I might say something today that would be life-changing. You either love me and understand me, or you say, where in the world is he coming from today? I'm trying to teach something. I'm trying to get something over. Be a child that can be depended on. Be a teenager that can be depended upon. Be a young adult that can be depended upon. Be one that will be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And it takes more than some him or her to get you off track. Abraham is often reviewed as our father in the faith, a founding father, much like the founding fathers of this great nation. Just a moment, do you have any clue why this nation's been a good nation for over 200 years? Somebody got it right to begin with. The Constitution of the United States had to be put together by God. Oh, there may have been one or two deists in the crowd. There's always going to be somebody in every crowd. But by and large, God put this nation together. And this nation has functioned. We've come through world wars. We've come through depression. We've come through every kind of a craziness, because the country basically was founded on the right thing. Now, if I get myself in a mess and I can't pay my bills, then the first thing you do is start cutting bait and start reducing indebtedness. But we're not doing that in our nation today. See, I'm talking about patterns. We need patterns in the kingdom of God. Not the latest fad, not the latest minister, not the latest idea. We need proven patterns and people who subscribe to proven patterns. I could call some staff that we have here today. They're on the staff because I observe them having proven patterns. And there were those that promised you the moon, but they subscribed to every kind of a wild doctrine, and a goosey here and a goosey there and a prophecy here. And they always just left things in a mess. You know how you're going to get to L.A.? No matter how you feel like every little road goes to the left or the right, you stay right on the main road. You don't get to Canada headed for Mexico. You don't get to Mexico headed for Canada. It just doesn't work. You may want it to work. You may hope that it could work. You may have male pride that you don't want to admit you're on the wrong road, but somewhere, something's got to give. You got to be on the right road to get to the right destination. And a good example is not just established in a single day, but over a period of time. You know, I look at the example of Abraham. He made some mistakes, and so have all of us. But Abraham today is called the father of the faithful. Jesus talked about him. Romans picks up on him. You find him through the Word of God. You look at Isaac. It took some time for Abraham's miracle to come to pass. You know, if something doesn't happen in 25 hours, we get all shook up. What about 25 years? Isaac stayed faithful in the time of famine, kept digging wells. A lot of hard work, but it paid off. Jacob messed up. But finally looked in the mirror and said, I will no longer be Jacob. By the help of God, change me today. And I'm going to say this. I don't care how badly you're messed up, your mama was messed up, how dysfunctional your family might have been, you can make up your mind in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth today. I am going to change. I will no longer be the way I have been. I'm not going to talk the same. I'm not going to think the same. I'm not going to do business the same. I'm going to stop following the example of my dysfunctional family. You don't have to follow the path of that. Some of the sharpest people I know today came out of deep pits of dysfunctional behavior. Some people have every break in the world and make a total fool of themselves. And some come out of a fool's hole and do something with their life. And excel. Get an education. Get a job. And go forward. I think of back in Brother Alcorn's church. I think of that little church. I mean, some preachers just shake their head when I show them the little church where A.A. Allen held his first church revival after leaving Corpus Christi, and then went on from that to the great tent revivals. Over on Southside, riding my bicycle up the church, maybe 3 blocks at the most. And yet as a young boy, I sat there and I heard a man of God, and a pattern began to be woven in my life. Praise God. Think of Gordon Lindsay, the time that we spent traveling with him. God put us in that situation. I think of my grandmother, who was really the guiding light from the Northern Baptist to Houston to baptism, Holy Ghost, salvation. My grandmother was a strong woman. Never forget her prophesying. I thought she'd lost it. Sonny, God's hand is on your life. One day you'll preach the gospel in many different parts of the world. Well, Sonny wasn't exactly there at that time. Nor was Sonny there for a while. But Sonny has been there. I think of a mother who didn't give up. Mothers don't give up on your children. Grandmothers don't give up on your grandchildren. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on praying for them. Keep on loving them. Oh, how many times have I heard J.C. Hibbert, Gospel Lighthouse, powerful man of God, powerful man of God. H.C. Noah, who brought in all of the voice of healing at one time or another back when in Dallas in the Oak Cliff area. Think of Albert Ott. These were men that were on the radio. Isn't it interesting? All the people I heard on the radio, now I have been one for all these years. I think something was birthed in my heart during that time. Albert, they all had different styles. They all did it differently, but they all lifted up Jesus. They all lifted up Jesus. I'll never forget Albert Ott, businessman turned preacher and pastor, had one of the great churches in Dallas. He said, "When I die, I want it to be said that I did the best that I knew how to do." That's so simple, isn't it? If I've heard him say that once, I've heard him say it so many times. When I go to be with the Lord, I want it to be said, he did the best that he knew how to do. You know, folks, it makes a difference. There's some people that have made a real difference in my life. I just think about them and it strengthens me. I think of evangelist D.H. Phillips, that many of you have enjoyed his ministry in days gone by. What a blessing that man was. What a blessing. And there were things that were imparted to me. Oh, I just think of so many that God has used. So many that God has used. What kind of a pattern or example or manner or custom is happening in your life? Children need to see parents that go to church. The business world needs to see a business person that tells the truth and will not cheat on a business deal, that he'll be honest and honorable. Well, to summarize, what I'm saying is we need godly examples and godly patterns. We need that. I'm taking a little time with it, but I think of how important it is. So let's summarize it by this. Men and women who had godly patterns have had an effect on all of our lives. Men and women who lived godly patterns have had a tremendous effect upon our life. Men and women who did not compromise their faith and their character over a period of time. You know, you go back and you read the Washingtons and you read the founders of these people paid a tremendous price for us to have a free nation where we could speak up. And boundaries and boundary lines were placed there for reasons to keep us from becoming a socialistic or a communistic nation. This nation was not founded by some drunk. This nation was founded by God. This nation was founded by God. We're free to worship God here today because things were set up in the right way. Men and women who did not compromise their pattern or their character. I think of Abraham Lincoln, powerful man. These were, all of them had feet of clay in some way. They're not perfect, but they did not quit And they kept doing consistently the right thing. And you know, it's just amazing. At the end of the day, you're going to come out if you just keep doing the right thing. Just keep believing the right thing. Make a mistake? Okay. Sorry you did that. But let's ask God to forgive us and let's go straight ahead. Failure is not failure, but quit is. And I just hear as Paul, as his example, speaking of Jesus, his example, Paul's example, Peter, James, John's example. Look at the example of Judas. You want to name your dog Judas? Look at Caleb. 84 years, and he's still looking for his mountain. Folks, God's not about to be through with us. There's much land yet to be possessed. We haven't seen it all, heard it all, know it all, or experienced it all. And the thing that I want to leave with us today, I'm just saying, God, pray the prayer. God, help me to set a godly pattern, to be someone that people can depend upon. I've mentioned it more than once, and it's no big deal for me, but when some of the big names were falling years ago, got that call from Australia, and a young minister had several young ministers in his office, and he said, Bob Nichols. I said, yes. He said, are you still saved? I said, yes. Still full of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Still married to Joy? I said, yes. Still in the ministry? Yes. Still pastoring? Yes. He said, see, guys, America hasn't gone crazy yet. That is not to exalt me, because that can be said of many wonderful, wonderful ministers. But to them, it was important to make that one phone call from the pastor when they thought things were going totally crazy over here, and hear the voice of someone that said, we're holding steady. Sometimes holding steady is lonely. Sometimes holding steady, you wonder what the next step is. Every day serving God is not fireworks going off. Wished it was. Let me tell you, you just keep doing what God told you last. You just hold steady and you just keep going forward. I mean, we've come to a time in Christian education, God had to encourage us, or we could have just quit and closed the doors. Today, thank God we didn't. It's been times in our Bible school. Our Bible school's growing and young people are coming in. Hey, I believe the best is yet to come. But there have been days when it looked like we might as well shut it down. I wasn't mad at it. It's just we hit some rough times through some bad decisions of others. And so it is, you know, when your church is gone and when fires come and all this other stuff. You know, is it a good time to exit? No, it's a good time to drive a stake and show others that we can come through. You can come through the waters and we can come through the fire. Marriages go through tests. It's not the end of the world. Just buck up. Get yourself some wisdom. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to love. Go forward. I want to be the pattern that God wants me to be. I want to be dependable. When people think of Bob Nichols, I want to say, flaky. Can't go by that or can't go by this. Let's be somebody that people can believe in. We may not always know what to do or how to do, or we make mistakes, but that our hearts are right. You know, if I can ever see a person's heart, I'm home free. If I can just see somebody's heart, sometimes there's so much to camouflage seeing someone's heart, but if I can ever see someone's heart that they really want to do the right thing, just something's released in me. Well, praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the Word of God. Hebrews 10:25 said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together after the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as the day approaches. Hebrews 10:23 said, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Hold fast the confession of our faith. Oh God, help us to set good patterns. 1 Timothy 4:12, be thou an example of the believer. Be an example. God calls us to be an example of the believers. God's not calling us to be perfect, but He is calling us to say yes to Jesus. And we're not going to back up, shut up, let up until we go up.